The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Eternal Father, we thank you this morning. The only rich God, the only worthy God, we thank you this morning. We come because you are always available, always having enough to enrich us with. And this morning we have come again to receive wealth from you, to receive riches from you. And we ask that, Lord Jesus, in your mercy, you will enrich us again in the name of Jesus. The apostolic commission that you have given to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that you have put upon your servant, Reverend Busuyo Labode, and your handmaiden, for this job, this work to be done upon the earth, we are asking this morning that we fresh from it in the name of Jesus, for our own enrichment in the name of Jesus. We fresh from that trial house where the words of God is, where you have the shackles of the cancer sanctuary that is needed to redeem our soul, to enrich us, to make us wealthy. We ask that this morning, let there be released from that house in the name of Jesus. Let the door of that trial house be open to us in the mighty name of Jesus. And let our souls be enriched again. Thank you, mighty Father. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. I receive grace this morning to speak what is in your heart and be faithful to it in the name of Jesus. Let nothing that should not be said in the name of Jesus. Only the things that you allow and you have approved for this meeting, let it be said in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I love the Bible reading this morning. That's Numbers that we read, 7. What a wonderful scripture. God was going to dedicate the tabernacle of God was going to be dedicated, right? And they needed all the 12 princes of Israel, representing all the tribes, to come and offer on behalf of their tribe. You are yet that representing a tribe in the spirit. Even naturally speaking, you are from a tribe. God has called you out of a tribe. And God needs you to offer for the sake of your tribe. So you saw what they brought. They brought chargers of gold, right? Give me one of the verses that define the things they offer. You know, they offer the same thing, actually. All the princes. They offer what? Silver charger, right? The weight of it is 130 shekels. One silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. So there is a way they measure shekel in the sanctuary. One shekel is 20 gerahs after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. So what they actually brought was their wealth. And their wealth is not measured by the things that, by the measurement standard of the world. The sanctuary itself has its own shekel, measurement of shekel. So there is a sanctuary in the spirit where we all belong, and they have shekels there that we spend. It's grace. That shekel is what is grace. So if you have grace and you're under grace commission, then you're a rich man because you have something to offer to God. Because God will not take from you anything outside of what He has given to us. Hallelujah. The things we are learning and the things we are hearing and the things that we are becoming is the works of the last days. That's the only thing God has to redeem man. The earth is sinking already into darkness. The things that we are becoming through the word we are hearing is the works that God needs to rescued the earth in the last days. So God has his own shekel in his own sanctuary. And he's raising you and I to be the shekel. Because you are the real currency. God is raising you as the currency. And when we say that we are rich like this, it's not because we are despising natural wealth. The people that can actually undo the natural wealth, or let me say undo the heads, are heavenly men. Because it's heaven that can only control the earth. If you are not very rich in the spirit, we got male riches. If they give you the earthly riches, it will turn you off, control you away. Because it will be waiting in your hand. It will be as if it's a trial thing. It's a trial substance, no? But if you are rich in the spirit, you will handle the earthly weights the way it should be handled. Because it's actually weightless. It doesn't have weight. So it will be weightless in your hand, meaning it won't distract you. It won't look like to you a glory. Because we have handled the true glory. Because glory itself is a weight. We have handled the true weighty thing, which is glory. The word for glory is kabod, right? That means something that has weights. Anything that has glory is not weighty. It's like a feather. So it takes men who have handled the shekel from the sanctuary to actually handle the earthly corruptible shekel and not be corrupted by it. So it's not because we are afraid of making money, no. We're going to have it in billions if God allow it. God is not afraid of making you a trillionaire if he need to do that. His faithfulness is not measured by that weight. Hallelujah. That does not what define his faithfulness. So in case he didn't choose you to be that rich in that manner, doesn't make him unfaithful. Because the gospel is not hanging on natural words. Gospel itself is a word. It's a word that God promised humanity. God himself is that gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel is what? Is God himself. So if God said, I will give you myself, what other word are you looking for? That's enough. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said earlier, if you are not rich in this shekel of the sanctuary in the spirit, you would see natural wealth that can perish as if it's a wealth. It will appear to you as a weighty glory. No, it's not weighty. True glory is things that can't be corrupted. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what God is raising you and I to become. And that's what we need to see. That's the other things are also available in the church that can be to us a distraction. That can look to us a wealth. Even Christians today don't know true wealth again. I was saying yesterday that if you see a minister of God that is anointed for miracle and all those things, for you, he is the most anointed man on the earth. You will not see somebody who can teach you God's word and make you see God in his true picture as anointed. Yeah. Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe in the gospel. The sign that should follow it is the sign that follows the gospel. So it's not the true gospel. The real gospel itself is God's image. God's word that will make you to look like him. That's his word. That's the gospel. So signs should follow it. So when we now make sign, the thing that we are following now is an abuse. It's an aberration in the spirit. So the thing can blindfold us. Hallelujah. So that you won't see the true image again. Because as a man, kind of man, we can be carried away by what excites us. What meet our immediate need and forget our real need. So it's a deliberate statement to crack the head of the devil that is wanting to make us see wet in things that can perish. That people go to church because the church has rich people there. Because we want to identify with people who are rich. That can be a reason for someone to go to church. Things that can perish. Is it bad to have people who are rich in church? No. All of us will be rich in the name of Jesus. But that's not really the reason why people should come to our church. You see our true identity and believe in it. Because if you come for the wrong reasons, you won't get the right thing. Yeah. Your focus will be on what can perish. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's actually a defense that the Lord wants us to stand for. Because men will be swayed these last days with things that can perish. So we must put our feet on the ground and say, no, the gospel is this, not this. So anybody who is coming for the gospel, we come for the right thing, not for the things that can perish. May God help us in the name of Jesus. And God will use you and I to defend this thing everywhere we find ourselves on the earth in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's our own, it's our whole assignments. We all own the assignments. It's a common word. It's something that we should defend anywhere we have rights and chance to say that on the earth. So that God can see us as an ambassador of his will, showing men the true things you see. Hallelujah. God will help us to achieve this in Jesus' name. Recently, I perceive that heaven has opened a new scroll over this commission. It's so clear. A scroll has been opened in the spirit for to be read again. You see, the gospel is not just one thing that you can access because you have prayed, you have fasted, I want to see more of God's word. If the scroll is not open, you won't see anything. Oh, these are things that we should know for us to have true thanksgiving in our hearts. If they don't open a particular scroll, your fasts, your prayer, your study will not see beyond the last one they opened. That's even if you can see it. So people cannot even see the previous scrolls, let alone the new one that they're opening. There is a kind of obedience that has gone to the heavens, primarily from our fathers, and let me say corporately too, from the obedience that has been gotten from this community in terms of, you know, this commission of one of righteousness globally. There is a quorum that has been fulfilled. I'm telling you, men, discovered recently. So, you know, that what happens is that if they want to open the scroll in heaven, it's actually there in Revelation chapter, I don't know exactly the chapter now. It happens that anytime God wants to open a new vista in the spirit for more of his word to be revealed to his people, what happens is that God will take incense from the heads. Incense is worship, obedience is from the heads. So when incense arise from the heads to the heavens, then the ark of God will open for release of thunderings, voices, trumpets, which actually are the sounds of the opening of doctrine that are locked in the ark of the Lord, in the spirit. Everything we are going to study to become like God is in the ark. There is a ark in the most holy place in the heavens that has the scroll of God's law. So all the ministry of Christ, ministry of Father, that we will even make is from that very ark. The scroll that contains the content of those thoughts is in the spirit. So they don't reveal the scroll in their chapters until they have been able to generate a particular measure of obedience from the earth, from men who are standing in priesthood. So men obedience is not just mere. Some men, they are denying their flesh, they are laboring the spirit, not just for themselves primarily, but to generate a kind of incense from their soul that will cause the heavens to open again and more scrolls will be revealed to the church. If we don't understand this principle, we won't know how things work in the church. We will have the new task given that is inspired by knowledge. If there is no evaporation from the earth, there won't be any form of condensation from the heavens. God took from the saints incense. What has worship? The prayer of the saints is not just prayer like prayer in form of a second word. Your prayer is your offering. Revelation chapter 8 verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of what? The saints ascended up before God out of the angels. And so the angel came with the censer, right? To take prayer of the saints. Prayer is not just prayer that you pray with your mouth. It's your worship or your obedience. Or when you pray, when you are obeying God, you are praying. We are making a prayer to God, right? So, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the heads. And there were voices. Can you see voices there? They are signs of doctrine. God is revealing himself. Voices and thunderings and light. Is that, was that one what we had on Mount Sinai when they brought the law? So these are signs of the God revealing his laws. Doctrines. So voices are doctrines. Preaching of doctrines. Thunderings. Lightnings. And an earthquake. Verse 6. And the seven angels, which are the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to what? To stand. So it's from that the angel can have legality to sound trumpets. Prophet is preaching. And don't think they are spiritual angels. Human angels. God may need some spiritual angels to do a similar thing in the spirit. But on the earth here, the angels are preachers. They are the ones to sound the trumpet to the church. So can you see that? Can you see what led to this trumpet sounding? Incense had gone up from the heads. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you understand that when you are obeying God, your obedience is not just for yourself alone. You are joining a people in the spirit corporately to generate incense that can fulfill a quorum or a measure of incense needed to trigger the opening of heaven for the ark of covenant to be opened. Hallelujah. So I feel a sense of thanksgiving in my heart this morning. Recently, if you listen to what messages from our community, you will see a kind of alignment, similarities in thoughts. So I knew that they are picking from a particular scroll that has just been opened over the community.
Wow.
The emphasis is very accurate. Alignment. So they must have been reading from the same place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Revelation 11 verse 19. And the temple of God was opened. That was after they took incense from the earth, right? And there was seen in his temple the ark of his what? Testament. Where the scroll are kept. And there were lightnings. So the lightning came from the scrolls. And voices, thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Hallelujah. So it's not ordinary that you see new thoughts opening up. And new light is shining upon things we have read before.
Yeah.
That didn't look clear to us.
Yes,
they are deepening our understanding over the same topic we have been hearing before them. It's not ordinary. Somebody actually had opened, a scroll was open in the spirit. Pastors can't pick from nowhere. They are picking from a scroll that has been revealed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we should thank God for primarily our fathers. And also for the corporate obedience of this community. I perceive that God took a measure of incense, prayer of the saints, their worship, their alignment, which is a faithful, which shows how faithful they were in stewarding the previous scroll that was revealed. So God now sees a reason to bring new scroll to further establish our faith. So we are blessed in our generation that we are living in the days when God is opening the ark of testaments. For the scroll to be open to men. The ark is the highest wealth of Israel. That's what contains the wealth of God. God himself is in the ark. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 10, let's go there. We are beginning to have understanding about the content of what saves us. Because salvation is not vague. There is what in God that is meant to save us. And it is called the gift and what sacrifices. So like the Old Testament, when they have to go through the rituals of burning animals and killing animals, hallelujah, say burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. God is not having pleasure in those things again. God has not the original thing he highly want to give to man. Verse 7, let's go for that. Then said, hi, lo, I come. So the one that will replace that which God does not like again, need to come with another provision that will take care or that will replace what was in place before now. Said, then said I, lo, I said, hi, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. The book is what I was talking about this morning. The book is a scroll. To do thy will, O God. So what's in the scroll? The book is the will of God. So it is his will that is the offering. God has a will. And that will is an understanding. By now we should have been able to catch up with this thought, right? God's understanding, God's reasoning, the way God thinks, his thoughts, is his will. And that's what you and I will receive for us to be able to offer to him. And our offering is himself. But you can't offer to God what is not God. See, if we have to give you his own will, then you offer his will back to him. That's when you accept your offering. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have been seeing that we need to be made a willful, you know, being. We need to have will of God. Will is the substance of our offering. So that will must be revealed to us, Abby. If it's not revealed, we can't offer. That's why we are thanking God this morning for the understanding of that will. Apocalypse is what the word apocalypse meaning open the cover. So what is that can come out? Apo, open the cover. There is something in God that must be out. But if the cover is not open, it can be out. So there is an apocalypse of the things that are in God for men to benefit from it. That's when we can offer. And I pray God will make all of us a being of will in the name of Jesus. That in this season, we will not just be hearing this, we will become a being of his will in the name of Jesus. These things are things that can only come to the open by the spirit of revelation, which is upon the mercy of God to open the scroll. Hebrews 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that held it, meaning that they didn't bring faith to it. So that means they hearted in unbelief. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sown in my rod, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. And God did what? Rest the seventh day from all his works. Now, if you read in context, this work that is being spoken about here is not the work that God did, let me say, physically in creating the physical creation. Because this is actually about the salvation that man needs, right? Man will not rest in the physical creation. Hallelujah. Amen. The works of the physical creation is not what we need for salvation. So this rest here is not the rest from the physical creation of things within the first and seventh, sixth day. The creation of the star, the moon, animals, land, water, day and night. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 2 says, for unto us the gospel was preached. So the work is concerning the gospel that will be preached, right? Yes, so, you know, God does everything in two dimensions, right? Yes, sir. He does one physically, yes, to typify what he has done in the realm of spirits. Yes, so that physical creation of day and night, first day, second day, third day, is to tell us that there is a 6 days work in the realm of spirits that was done before that one. That one was just to spell it out. And there is also a seventh day where God rested from a particular work. And he called the work that were finish from what? From the foundation of the world before the creation of what can see physically. Let's check Psalm 90 verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. Verse 2. And I told us we come back here to see some things. Before the mountains were brought forth, however thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from the everlasting. So before God formed the mountain and what you can see in the world and the earth, exactly, thou hast been our what? Dwelling place. And we have once said it that Psalm 90 verse 1 is the same thing as what happened in Genesis 1:27. When Bible says God created man in his image, right? And exactly what we are reading in Hebrew 4 verse 3 here. We have done that many times. We have aligned it by four thoughts together like that. That the work that God did from the foundation of the world was before any creation came to be, right? Yes, so if God is talking about a work that he rested from, and the work is a work that is before the worlds were made. So that means it's not the sixth-day work of creation. God couldn't rest in any of those things, right? But that one was necessary to show what had happened in the spirits. Am I clear?
Yes, sir.
So, and we know that our salvation is predicated upon this finished work that was done before the foundation of the world. Is that clear to us by now? So, God actually rested in the seventh day, right? So after he had done the work, there is a work that God does. They asked Jesus Christ one particular day, that's John 5, when Jesus Christ did a healing on Sabbath day. So they accused him of healing on what? The Sabbath day. And therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on what? On Sabbath day. He healed somebody and it was a sinful thing before them. Know why? They don't do anything on Sabbath day. Can you see ignorance of the Pharisees? Men who were you think they were putting the law. Somebody was fulfilling Sabbaths right in their face. And they were fighting for not fulfilling Sabbaths. Jesus was what? Fulfilling the very meaning of Sabbath. And they were persecuting for not obeying Sabbath. Because Sabbath is a day that you don't work. But there is a work that is called Sabbath. Sabbath is a work. It's God's work. That is favor man's work. So that is, they don't do any Sabbath work because it's a day that is separate for to acknowledge, to hallow God's work. So the healing of that man was a symbol of God made the person whole. The healing was that just made him whole.
Yes, sir.
There was that man that was by the pool of Bethesda for many years. Yes. The girl told him, take your bed and you are whole. And that was what happened. Because Sabbath actually is meant to make man whole. So that miracle was a preaching. That see what Sabbath means. Hallelujah. So verse 17. So when they accused him of, why did he heal on Sabbath day? Because Sabbath day is a day that you must not work. And that's supposed to be a work to them. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father worketh it at all, and I work. So what I'm doing now is a work that I'm copying from my Father. Because Sabbath actually means the day of the Father's work. So he said, I'm fulfilling Sabbaths. I'm doing, so the Father has not started to work. The Father, when I say God rested, to them it's as if rested from every activities. No, there is a work that God is doing, and that work is the rest. So rest is not lack of activity. It's a kind of activity that is separate from creation's activity. What's Sabbath? Sabbath is the work of the Father that is continuous. My Father worketh it at all, and I work. So God's work has not ended because he made the heaven and the earth and the sun and the moon. That's not even the real work of God. That's the simple, that's the physical work he did to show that there's an invisible sun, moon, that is not the one you can see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm still trying to explain Hebrews 4:3. When they say the work were finished, it's not actually, when they say the work was finished, it's a complete work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the work is running. You know the son? The son. It's not
a complete work.
But you know what happened in the sun?
Yes,
there are a lot of nuclear fission and fusion.
Yes,
that is ongoing concurrently.
Yes,
so sun has been fully set. But what makes it a sun is a continuous work.
Yeah.
Nuclear fission and fusion. Breaking down and adding and building up. That's why God is a sun. So I can liken that first work to the sun. So the sun is telling us that God's work, which is called Sabbath, is a finished work. But that work is a living work. It's still ongoing. Though it has been finished, you can't add to that work. You can't go and make the sun hotter now. Right? What will make it as hot as it used to be? We are not helping the sun to be hotter than before. No. So there is breaking, building up, nuclear fission and fusion. So my father worked it at all, and I work. So it was to answer the question of what is Sabbath really. So he said, what I just did is Sabbath. So I have sown in my rods, if they shall enter into my rest. So to enter that Sabbath now, that really is sound day in the spirit, is the major work. Although the works were what? Finished from the foundation of the world. So it is that work that Jesus is looking at. If we read further in that John 5, so the Son can do nothing, trying to explain what he has said earlier. But what he said the Father do. Can you see verse 13 of that place? He was still explaining that Sabbath to them, right? Then answered Jesus and said unto them, very, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he said the Father do. So the Father worketh. Works, meaning it's a progressive work, right? Continuous work. So he must peep into the Father's work to do the same thing. So Sabbath actually is to locate the Father's work and do the same thing in the flesh. Because only that thing can give God habitation. You must see into his work. So the things that the Father doeth, he has done, he has finished it, just then. But the work is a living work. So the Son must see the Father work and copy the same thing. That's what makes a son. And that's how to fulfill Sabbath. God is expressed in Sabbath, or he rests in Sabbath. Sabbath is his house. The seventh day is his house. So we need to see the day of the Lord. I would say the day of the Lord comes, right? Why would they blow trumpet in Zion? Is to declare the day of the Lord. God's day is that whole program that will give him rest among men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the content of that day are the gifts and sacrifices that make the offering that you and I should offer to God in love. Am I saying what is too much for us to understand? Hallelujah. What's the in that day? Gift and what? Sacrifices. All God's will. So his will is the thing in his day. God's day is to receive God's will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the work that were finished is finished, but it's a living walk that we need to peep into for us to provide for God a Sabbath again on the earth, or a place of expression. You must know what God is doing. We have explained before now. That's Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, right? Let's go there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name are not written in the book of life of this Lamb, slain from what? The foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So slay means to crucify. And one of the meaning of to slay is to preach something, right? Like Galatians 3 verse 1. Let's check that place and come back here. To crucify or to slay is to preach. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been what? Evidently set forth. Crucified what? Among you. He was talking about how that he preached Jesus among them, right? He opened up Jesus. Jesus' configuration was open to them. And he called that crucifixion of what? Of Jesus Christ among them. So to slay or to crucify is to make known of what is in something. I use the word that time apocalyptic, right? So you can't, God, what is in God cannot be revealed to you until he opens himself up. So when you open the cover, apocalypse, meaning that you will not see what is there. What does that is preaching? So we told us that God actually preached himself. But I think more light has come upon that same thought, which is what I feel I was on. Hallelujah. The thing is not really limited to what we know. It's still more than what we ever thought. So the Lamb was slain from the foundation, and that is the work of the Father, right? There is a God, that slay is a process that God began in eternity and finished. He began it in the everlasting world, right? Before anything was made. That's why Sabbath day is not Sabbath of 7 days of creation of physical things. Because Bible says he already rested in his work. And that work is not the work that he never did. Yeah. That one, he said this one was before he made all things. Exactly.
Yes,
this was where God made himself an habitation for man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say God preached himself. What is the content of that preaching? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have seen that Lamb was slain means Lamb was preached, right? He opened up himself for us to see what take place in him. Like they said, come and see what's happening in the sun. They open eyes to see the sun. You know, we are not seeing nuclear fission and fusion. Exactly. To tell you that light you are seeing, that glow you are seeing, is not just coming from nothing, right? It's coming from a reaction within the sun.
Yes.
He slayed himself by preaching himself, right?
Yes.
But what did he preach? Because that is what Jesus says, look into. Said the sun can do nothing, right? But what is yet that is done in the Father? There is something that is called the Father. That Father is a work. Hallelujah. Like the Son saw what the Father do it, right? And that what the Father do is a finished work called Sabbath, right? It's a finished work that he has rested in that work. I mean that work can fully express him, right? That work, if they show you that work, you become God's Sabbath. If you see that work in full, what you become is that you become that work yourself. Meaning that God can now find habitation in you too. Because only in that work will God rest. Or God will only find expression in that work. You need to see what is done in the Father, or what the Father doeth. That Father is an economy, and there is a reaction, nuclear fission and fusion, that is taking place in the Father. That's why he's described as a son. That God, what is that his son? Is to show us the picture of this understanding. Because God uses the natural to tell us the spiritual. So, the name of slain, we have explained that to slay means to preach, right?
Yeah.
What did he preach? There is something he was preaching. That, and actually God preached himself in the son. Hebrews 1 verse 1. God who has many times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets. Verse 2. At in these last days spoken unto us by his son. One way to say is that God spoke in the son. And he will speak by the son.
Yes,
so why is the son of God? We have said it many times. Is an economy. Is a womb that God carried out that finished work that he will reveal to you and I now as the gospel. God, you must see what is done in the Father to become the Son. And the Father only rests in the Son, right?
Yes, sir.
So when the Son locates what is done in the Father, it becomes God's Sabbath or God's house. Or God's resting place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when he said the Son, well, after us, is not just one woman being like that. No. The Son is a womb. This money permits me to use the word laboratory. The Son is what? The Father's laboratory. God did an in vitro test before the foundation of the world. No, don't call it in vitro test. When you test a chemical in the test tube or petri dish, before you now let her do the clinical test,
yes, sir.
You first of all do a laboratory test to see.
Yes,
thank God, doctor is here to help us to understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, if there's a test that you do in the test tube, right?
Yes,
called in vitro test, right? To first of all see how the thing should work. Before you now test it in a living organism,
yeah.
We call it clinical test. No. Now, what the Lord did in this laboratory called Son, what is the first laboratory? Is an economy, is a world. He used to test his redemptive power.
Uh-huh.
How redemption will take place,
yeah.
That the gospel will reveal to us later. God carried out that. Test first, not on whom a living organism, not on human being,
yeah.
But in his own laboratory called the Son of God. What is it? What if that doeth? It's what God did in that laboratory, which is still a living laboratory in the Father. And that laboratory is called the Son of God. So Bible said that in Romans 8 said the earnest expectation of the creation. Wait for what? The apocalypse of the Son of God. Son of God there is not primarily a human being.
Yes, sir.
The God needs to open up that laboratory experiments,
yeah.
Which he showed his Son Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Which is called the work of Sabbath.
Yes,
that is what will save the entire creation of the earth.
Yes,
so if they don't open up this Son of God is not Son of God. Actually, he's Son of God. Sometimes Bible translators assume some things because they don't truly know the meaning of those things, really, to agree. What is to be manifested or apocalypse is that womb. Because God did an experiment in his Son, not in Jesus Christ. In his Son. Son there is a word, is a womb. In the everlasting world. But that's what we call everlasting life. Everlasting life is a womb. So that's what we are all expecting from. If God does not manifest this Son of God, this is actually the hack. If God has not opened this ark, entire creation what will be doomed. So the creation is waiting for the opening of what? Of that work. That God did a redemptive work first. So when he heard the word, the work was finished from the foundation of the world. So what God came to test in Jesus Christ, that's the first clinical test now. Hallelujah. Yes, he had first done it to see the reaction of, okay, this is my life. This is how my life will save soul. From Christ to the Father, right? Those things that are in God. That's Christ's doctrine, Father's doctrine, God's doctrine. How those understand the will of God, right? How they will change, how they will save man's soul. As first of all being played out in that laboratory test. So the first clinical test, that's the first time they use that thing that have been approved on a living organism, right? Was when Jesus came to the earth. Wow. So what the Father doeth in that laboratory, the Son will now see it. Wow. God preached to him or revealed to him what he did. That's the gospel. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll get to what I'm saying this morning. There is a reaction, there is a way the laws in God redeem soul. Give me Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. Who is talking there? A kind of man. Who are the people called our? That find their dwelling place in God. Is a kind of man. Let's see verse 2 to fully understand. Before the mountains were brought forth, can you see? So before anything was created, there is a work God has done already.
Yes.
That is where you have the reason one day. However, thou hast formed the earth, can you see? And the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, that God. So the dwelling place is what? From everlasting to what? Everlasting. Is that another word for economy, or they call it from ages to ages. So there is an age in the Lord. The Lord there is the Father. So there is a dwelling place, and there are men who dwell there. So if you say, Lord, that has been our dwelling place, then you have to be an everlasting man to say that thing.
Yes, sir.
So the man. The men talking here are everlasting men. So they have found is an expression in the Lord. So you can't find expression in the Lord, the Father, if you're not a son. It's only the Son that is in the Father. And the Father can be in the Son. So so this is an everlasting Son that can claim to find a dwelling place or place of expression in the everlasting world, right? Am I clear this morning?
Yes,
verse 2. No, verse 3. Verse 3. The next verse. Now we understand the man now, right? The kind of man talking, right? Is an everlasting man. Called the Son. Son of God, meaning that the one who has attained to the stature of the Son of God. Meaning that the entire life of the Father is already dwelling in that Son, right? I was talking earlier about a laboratory experiment, right? This laboratory experiment I'm talking about. Because when this thing happened, Jesus has not come to the earth. They have not made any human being. Can you see that? They said this thing happened before we formed what? The heads. So this is a finished work. It's an in vitro test. Now what happens is that we have said earlier that God slay himself, right?
Yes,
now I ask for another slay that is also earlier than the one I said earlier.
Okay.
That's how you don't, but nothing that you have said it all. When you shine another, you not say, you have not said, you have not really said the reason. There's still one left. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Verse 3. Let's zoom into the test tube where that thing took place. Now, you can't raise a doctor if you don't kill, if you don't diversify, if you don't cut a human being. You have to bring a cadaver, right? And open it up. To train a doctor who will teach human body, there must be a cadaver that must be used to teach him. So, God's cadaver is what is in that laboratory. So, they to train you as a son. The son must see it what happened in the father in that laboratory that was done from the foundation of the world. Meaning that to train another son, what they will use, to, maybe she's another doctor now, they want to go and show you God's cadaver. And cadaver is that you break down the body, right?
Yes, sir.
Cut it open, right?
Yes, sir.
To see how it is coupled together. You now see this, how this organ, cut this organ.
Yeah.
Then they now show you how human being body works. But they will need a dead body to show that thing. So when God died,
hey!
In there to make you see the chemistry of what took place in him when he did that thing he did.
Right.
Now let me say something too. In Proverbs 8, we'll come back here. There is a place in God that you can't inhabit. That has been our dwelling place. It's a dimension of God that He allowed to be inhabited. There is a house that God has that He won't give to anybody. Meaning you can't express that dimension of Him. It's the house He opened for you. That you assess, that you can express. Meaning if he God make himself a house for you, it means that you can represent him, or you can inherit what that house is all about.
Yes, sir.
So there is, God is not only divine nature, he has called us to partake of his divine nature.
Yes, sir.
He has not called us to a partake of his deity.
Yes, sir.
You can't be God.
Yes, sir.
Even though you can have divine nature.
Yes, sir.
So that Godhood is another habitation that you won't dwell in.
Yay.
So he didn't preach that one. He can only to preach means to open up that one, right?
Yeah.
And he will not open it up forever.
Yeah.
So the one he opened up is the one that can be inhabited.
Yes,
give me verse Proverbs 8. Let me show you something there. I need to do that to come back to Psalm 90 there. It's an industry foundation that must be done. Proverbs 8. Give me verse 4 of this. Now, verse 1. Now, everlasting life is an hour for everlasting wisdom, right? Or wisdom.
Yes, sir.
Does not wisdom cry. Wisdom here is everlasting wisdom.
Yes, sir.
It is that solution in that laboratory.
Yeah.
That's that they call the father's life. What if that do it? God, as a chemist now, prepared a solution. First, redemption.
Yeah.
That solution is called wisdom. Right. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth a voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the place of the paths. She cried at the gates and at the entry of the city, and come in at the doors. Right? Verse 4. Unto you, O men, see now, is crying to what? Men, right?
Yes.
Unto you, O men, I call. And my voice is to what? Source of men. So that tells you that if a voice of a wisdom is to sons of men. Sons of men are what? Are Christ's. So that tells you that wisdom is what? Everlasting wisdom. It's only everlasting wisdom that can call for sons of men up to an higher ground, right? So I just need to show verse 4 to show that the wisdom there crying is everlasting wisdom. Now let me show you something there. Proverbs 8 there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give me verse 30 there, 30. Then I was, no, give me, look, before I get there, let me, give me verse 22. The wisdom I'm talking there, right? So the Lord possessed me. Meaning, this wisdom may say that the Lord possessed me. In the beginning of what? His ways. Before is what? What of old. There is a the God possessed that wisdom before a particular work of old was done. Next verse 23. To know the work of old. I was set up from what? Everlasting from what? The beginning, or however the head was. So it was a wisdom that was in God used, right?
Yeah.
To do a work.
Yes,
before the work of old.
Yeah.
Is that clear to us?
Yes,
there is a work that was done before the other works. The other work also has no 7 day.
Yeah.
But the 7 day that is the real 7 day that we are going to connect to is the one before the one that God had when he made the physical creation. So I was set up from everlasting from the beginning. So that tells you that the wisdom there is what? Everlasting what? Wisdom. Is that clear to us? Verse 23. 24 rather. When there was no what? No depths, I was brought forth. Can you confirm Psalm 90 verse 2 now? Is that clear? When there was no fountain abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. He brought it forth. That's the experiment. Because that is what happened in him, right? While as yet he had not made the head, can you see now? Nor the feet, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Now, is that so? That tells us that wisdom here is a blessing wisdom, right?
Yes,
that gave, that did the work. Then I was by him. That's wisdom talking that
yes,
it was by God, right?
Yes,
as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Verse 31. Rejoicing what? In the habitable part of his earth. The earth there is not physical earth. God himself is a grand. So this wisdom, it can be located in what? The habitable parts of God's grand. And my delights were what? With Christ. With sons of men. So that means I'm coming for Christ. It's the wisdom that only Christ can receive. But that wisdom is found in the habitable parts. So that means there is a part in God that can't be inhabited. It's habitable part. Meaning that that statement tells you that some part in him can be inhabited, right?
Yes,
so, Psalm 90 verse 2. Before the first, so that tells that this building that God gave to a people, right? Called everlasting man, everlasting world, has been before the mountains were brought forth. Proverbs 8 confirms it, right?
Yes.
Verse 3. Thou tallest man. Now, we are looking at the laboratory experiment now. Because all these things happened before they made any physical thing. So, in that laboratory experiment, God created, I told you, he made a laboratory called the sun. So, let's just be aware that it's a test. It's a laboratory experiment that is done in the sun. That sun is that laboratory.
Wow.
Now, verse 3 is now showing us how the thing was carried out. Thou tallest man. Who is the man now? We have known the man, right? Everlasting man. And that everlasting man is a law. Did you know that? It's a law in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God brought forth his nature. Incorruptible nature of God. When you say something is incorruptible, that means it can't be broken down, right?
Yes, sir.
God is a solid house. You can't disassemble him. You can't what? Disassemble God. In that core, incorruptible life, you can't break it down. It's a stable, radioactive element. They can't experience nuclear fission. You can't break it down. But for the first time, although done in his son, God disassembled himself. You will see it. That's the one death that happened only once.
Wow.
And it must not happen again. Any place that he repeats itself, that is eternal damnation.
Wow.
I thought that when he said God slain himself, that's many meaning, right? One of the meaning of slay himself is that he disassembled himself, but in the son.
Yes.
It's like he brought out his life that cannot be broken down, right? By himself. It like a diamond substance, right?
Yes,
that can't be broken, right?
Yes,
so anything that makes you break down the atoms of diamond such that it can take a lower form,
yeah,
but can also be reversed back.
Yeah.
When you say preaching, what is preaching? Preaching means you build up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A preacher is a builder, right?
Yes, sir.
Give me Hebrew 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, particular of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, right? Jesus Christ. He's telling you that heavenly calling, what that calling is, the calling to this life I'm talking about, right?
Yes,
come and peep into this laboratory experiment, right?
Yes,
and become it. So anybody that is called to that vocation, they must know this high priest. Because something he did, that high priest did something, this apostle and high priest did something that was compared to Moses' work. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that was appointed him? As also what? Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Why? Inasmuch as he who had built the house has more honor than the house. Verse 4. For every house is builded by what? Some man. What's the house there? House of God, right?
Yes,
there are many houses of God or places of expression. The angelic testament that they gave to Moses gave God the kind of house, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not God's very rest.
Yes,
he can't take Sabbath in those that building, right? But he that built all things, God, that is not there. That is not there.
Yes,
and if you put that is there, it's what are the meaning of that? It's what are the meaning of that thing doctrinally? If you put that is there, the meaning of that statement will not be accurate. It can be grammatically correct, but doctrinally wrong. The way to read it is that for every house is built by some man, but he that built all things, God. But he, that word that is not even there too. But he built all things, God. They are comparing Moses and Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Moses built a house, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, he was the one that built all things of God. All things God. God is an all things. So he that overcometh shall inherit what? All things. So the all things is the gospel really that was preached in that laboratory. That gospel is God himself. Meaning how God wants to save man. You will see it later as we go further in this study this morning. My point is that a builder is what? A preacher is what? A builder. So God was first preached in his son, right? Jesus Christ. Meaning that thing that happened in that finished work, the first place where they carried out the first mental test was in Jesus Christ. So they built God in him, right? He was the first man to carry God's building. Now, so to preach is what? To build up. I commend to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So when a preacher is preaching, what he's doing? He's a builder. Now, if preaching means building, then that means preaching will not be possible if a building has not been disassembled for it to be built up.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If God is that raw, unbreakable nature, right? And he appeared that way.
Mm.
You can't preach him.
Yes, sir.
Because preaching is to show the way is race.
Wow.
To preach is to what? Show the way is the building is race. It means that you can build God with words.
God.
You will show God's fragments, everything in him, from the least of his life to the peak of his building, right? That's what God preaching. So God could not have been preached, or it would not have been possible to preach God if not for this laboratory experiment he did. That was where he disassembled himself, then built up himself. So that wisdom and that show of how he is built up is the gospel that the sun located. Look at that place, that's John 5. Now, he said, for the son can do nothing of himself, but what he said the father do, that process. God the father must, he did that thing in his son, which is the womb, or laboratory, where he used, right? Jesus Christ actually need to build God, right? By obedience, from the least to what? To the peak of God. So, they need to show him how God is built, right? From the foundation to the peak. So, now see what he said. For whatsoever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. Next verse, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son. This is how to show his love, right? The love is that we show him what he's doing, right? And showeth him what? All things that himself doeth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For them to show that love to you, they will show you the begotten Son. Yeah. How? They will show you how the begotten Son is raised. Yeah. Go back to that place, John 5. John 5. That book of John is terrible. Terrible. And it will show him what? Greater works than this. That he was me marvel. What's that greater work? Because there is a great work. That's what a greater work. We're going to see what is a great work. But let us see greater work as he said the next verse. This is the greater work that God will show him, right? As the Father raised up the dead, one, and quickened them. Even so, the Son quickened whom he will, because they have shown the Son the wisdom. So this is the greater work, right? What's greater work? To raise the dead and to quicken it. So the great work will be to make the dead. Hallelujah. Yes. There is a dead that must be raised. Yes. So to they need to first of all make the dead, right?
Yes, sir.
They will now raise the dead,
yes,
and quicken the raised dead.
Wow.
To rest is to receive the living word. We have known that before. To quicken means to receive the true light. True word, right? But what are they raising? Raising what? Christ. Christ is the dead that can be raised by the Father. So Christ, making the dead is the great work. Greater works is to now raise the dead and quicken it. Meaning to, first of all, raise Christ. It's a great work. Then they will now, no, to make Christ first is the great work. They will now raise Christ. Now is a dead. It is what they can offer to now be raised, right? And be quickened later. Is that clear to us?
Yes,
he that believeth in me, what is Father? He said, I am the resurrection and what? And life. And he explained to us that resurrection and life is the name to call that experiments in that laboratory. He that believeth in me, though he were dead,
yes,
shall live, right?
Yes, sir.
That one that they call live,
yes,
is that dead that they make.
Wow.
To make the dead mean that you were, they give you a wisdom,
yes, sir,
or they preach to you a wisdom that will rest a flesh to give it a life.
Hi.
And that life is a kind of a dead, right?
Yes.
That they will now raise and quicken. So, making the dead, that's raising Christ now. That's what make the real Christ, right?
Yes, sir.
To have a Christ being, right? Raising it by the Father now, that's through the living word. And quickening it. That three-level experiment is the thing that happened in that laboratory. That's the thing that it was done in the Son. And you know that God will have to break himself down, right?
Yes,
to build this thing up, right? That's what it means for God to be naked. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He naked himself.
Wow.
But in the Son.
Okay.
So it's not a public nakedness.
Ooh.
Give me Hebrews 6.
Wow.
That thing must happen just once. Only God did it. Anybody that repeat that thing. Therefore, living the principle of doctrine of Christ, let us go on the profession, right? not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, verse 2. Of doctrine of baptism and of laying of hands and of resurrection of the dead. Now, verse 4. For it is impossible for what? Those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts, these people have been built. You have to first of all, from flesh, they raised you as Christ. That's how to make the dead. Then if you not test the heavenly gifts, meaning that you are already testing the power of what will come, right? And testing of the heavenly gifts, and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. And have tested the good word of God. Because the Father, heavenly gift is both good and perfect. And the power of the word will come. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, the reaction must only go like this.
Hey, it's not reversible.
There is a point where it can reverse it.
When?
I will explain to us.
Wow. Hey.
There is a point where it must not be reversed.
Yeah.
When it was still within the wisdom of Christ.
Hmm.
Because Christ can repent.
Yeah.
You can, that's why you can commit a sin not unto this death.
Wow.
So when you test, when you move from the dead to where they are raising the dead now,
yeah.
Testing of the word, heavenly gifts.
Yeah.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Because that realm, they don't repent there. God is not a man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. Seeing the words, crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now see what this means. And put him to an open shame. To put, shame means nakedness. They crucify to themselves. That's not your duty. God has only done it once. God crucified himself once. So anybody that gets to that laboratory experiments in practice now and enter that very crucible where they don't reverse things, that's when they started raising you and quickening you. If you are raised by the Father and you turn back, it's perdition. Because what you did is that you repeated, you smite God's Son again. Because God only smote himself once. Okay, give me that Numbers 23:18 first. Can you see what did man say about God? Balaam. God is not what? That's what? Man there is what? Sinful flesh. Not flesh as sin. Sinful flesh. Jesus came as what? Sinful flesh. Jesus came as this man. So that means he could lie. That's why he could fall.
Yeah.
Bible says he came in what? A sinful flesh, right? Romans 8:3.
Yes,
he was made a man, a sinful flesh, meaning he could lie.
Yes, sir.
So God is God's very nature, the core nature of God is not a man.
Yeah.
Man is a law.
Yes, sir.
So that he could what? He could sin, he could lie, right?
Yes, sir.
He can lie, right? He can deny God. That's what that's yes, meaning. Now what? The next verse, the next line, give me back that Numbers. No, neither what the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. It's Christ. You know that
yes,
should be.
Yes, sir.
The person who's on the Son of Man, right?
Yes, sir.
So these are not estates. God in his core form is not Christ. But Christ is in God. God is higher than Christ, exactly. So if God is not man, meaning that he's more than sinful flesh. Sinful flesh can lie. He can fall. That's the meaning.
Wow.
Neither the Son of Man that he should what? Repent. Repent means to do a reversible reaction to the law. When you see a reaction that can be forward and backward, that's what we call repentance. Meaning you can draw back. When you are still any Christ, if you are one spiritual to a degree, and you fall back, just stand. You are repenting. The Lord there can go back and forth.
Yes, sir.
And that's sin that is unto death, right?
Yes.
But that there is not eternal death.
Yes,
it can be redeemed back, right?
Yes,
they can reverse you back.
Yes, sir.
That's why when you are, you can be one spiritual and mechanic again.
Yes.
They can turn you back by with life, right?
Yeah.
That means you can repent. Son of man can what? Can repent.
Yes, sir.
That is, as he said, and shall I not do it? Or at least spoken, and shall I not make it? But my point from this scripture is to see that God in his reconformers, incorruptible God, right, is higher than Christ. So God cannot what? Repent. Can you see now? Now, in Psalm 90 verse 3, God actually repented once. That thing that he should not do, he did it once. But in his Son. So it's asking maybe anybody can just come and scatter the experiment. No.
Yeah.
He has not even made anything there. That was where God really crucified himself. Because he won't be able to preach him or build him up if he has not broken himself down,
yes, sir,
and show you how he can be raised up.
Yes, sir.
So why you cut a human being open?
Yes,
it's to train a doctor,
yes, sir,
that will teach a human being that is alive.
Yes, sir.
Thou turnest man to destruction. The word turn is the word repent. That's why I want to interpret that thing to you. That word repent. So the man that we are reading in verse 1 is a verse number, right?
Yes, sir.
So God turned man. What is man? That man is the law in God. Incorruptible life, right?
Yes, sir.
So for the first time in that laboratory test,
yeah,
God turned it or he reversed the law. Meaning he disassembled himself.
Yeah.
The word destroy and the word destroy. Or the word decay. Decay. And that word is used in science. When you see a nuclear reactor,
yes,
where you have nuclear fission taking place.
Yes, sir.
Like uranium, for example, uranium that is a stable uranium, right?
Yes.
If it's used in the nuclear reactor, uranium is a radioactive element,
yes, sir,
that produces, you know, power.
Energy,
right? They can use the power of their own country.
Yeah.
The uranium in the U.S. Gerard, that's their ship. That one of their ship, right? We work for 20 years.
Okay.
Rough fuel. Is that ship is fueled by uranium. 20 years fuel.
Okay.
That ship will be on sea for 20 years. They don't refuel it. Because what's happening within the engine room is nuclear fission,
yes,
and fusion, right? So there's something called radioactive decay.
Yes, sir.
Mean that a stable element breaking down into an unstable state. That's how they emit their life, right? So the unstable element that break from that uranium is called radioactive decay. So when they say thou turnest man to decay, I'm really trying to make you see that thing. Mean that they formed, God broke himself down to a lower law. Incorruptible Father broke himself. He went through a decay. It's not decay as it's corruption.
Yeah.
He produced an unstable state of himself. But in that crucible, it's not as you can come and do anything there. It is his life. A tallest man. What is that man? Man is the law in him.
Yes, sir.
That is,
yes,
inhabiting him, right?
Yes,
so he brought it into that. It's like you brought your life out and you want to see how your life can work. So the word turn is what? To repent. God cannot repent, right? So for him to repent for the first time, or that word turn is the word return, or become, he did a backward reaction. Meaning he broke himself to a lower law and he put himself back. So he saw how the thing happened in that test tube, right?
Yes.
And that's the gospel he preached. So he preached in his Son.
Yes.
Or he spoke in his Son. So it is that thing you will learn and you call gospel. You will see how God can be raised. Now, this relative decay, which is the unstable parts that broke out of him, is called Christ. That's why Christ is corruptible. It's unstable. Now, the word destruction here is the word contrite or broken hearted. Go and check the is it Shada? Check the Hebrew word, you see it there. When you see the word destruction there, meaning it turned the everlasting nature.
Wow.
Reversed to it formed a contrite nature from it.
Yeah.
Who is a contrite man?
Wow, Christ.
Let me show you a scripture. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that what? That of a broken heart. And what? Saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Hey.
So what God turned himself to is what we call a contrite spirit. It's a law. Or broken hearts. That's why God is nigh unto them. He can save them. God can save Christ. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
So what he was doing at laboratory, you will see that destruction that he turned himself to. It's not like that destruction is called what? Contrite. Meaning he reverses law. God is not contrite. He's higher than contrite. Because a contrite man seems to be saved.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said he shall save such as what? Be of a contrite heart. So that means contriteness is not perfection, right?
Yes.
He seems to be saved. So that was what happened in that experiment. Eternal man, that's everlasting man that dwells in him, to a contrite man. And these are all lost in the spirit. Hallelujah. Give me Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifice of God are what? Are a broken spirit. The same word. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou will not despise. Give me some Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, 15. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the high and what? Lofty one. That's everlasting life, right? That he inhabited what? Eternity. Whose name is what? Holy. And we dwell what? In the high place and holy place. God, that our what? Habitation. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. How will he do it? To revive, mean to save.
Wow.
Or to quicken the spirit of what? The humble. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So you can see that in God's wisdom of salvation, he can revive what is contrite. So he broke himself to a contrite. Thou turnest man to destruction. The word destruction is to is contrite. Meaning he turned what is everlasting to a contrite heart. And then he now showed how he can raise the dead and quicken it. The dead is the contrite heart. Isaiah 66 verse 1. Because he wants to show you how to build for him a house. That's the reason. God disembodied himself or disassembled himself to display the wisdom of how he can be raised. Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. That's the angelic heaven, of course. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Because if he didn't teach us how to build his place of rest, he will never have one.
Yes.
So he preached the wisdom in his son. For all those things that at my hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man, will I what? Well, whose man? Even to him that is what? Poor and of a contrite spirit that trembleth at my word. So it is the only place that God can raise his son. So that reaction that took place there, that an indestructible God, he can't be naked. You know what naked means? That when you say you are naked, meaning you turn things backward, right? You remove your clothing from yourself. So he became naked in his son. And he also covered himself back. So that wisdom of how God, so Christ's wisdom now, which is the contrite nature or the nature that is destroyed. Hallelujah. Show me that Psalm 90 verse 3 and see something there. He's trying to revive the what's the contract actually. Thou turnest man to destruction, meaning that he brought himself, he repented, right? That what turn is to repent, right? He converted himself to Christ. That's the meaning. And says, he now spoke to Christ. Return what? Ye sons of men. Because son of man is Christ, right? And he can repent. Hallelujah. So that wisdom of calling, because the Bible says, in Isaac shall your what? It said, in Isaac shall the seed be called.
Yeah.
That should be Romans. Yes. And in, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac is the picture of Christ, right?
Yes,
son of Abraham. They will call the seed from Isaac. Meaning, Isaac is the picture of a contrite heart. Christ, man, son of man, right? That they will call out the seed from Isaac.
Is
a dead man. So that's how God. So what they did for Abraham, what they preached to Abraham. I'm going to say, God preached the gospel to Abraham. Abraham saw that laboratory experiment. I looked for a city. What's the last city? That conversation. He looked to see that wisdom of resurrection.
Wow.
How God can disassemble himself and build up himself. That's the gospel. But why Abraham could not enter the promise? Because their own foundation can't carry the building. For he looked for a system which had what? Foundations. Whose builder? Maker is God. So God, how God he saw. When you just say, he said, Abraham saw a day and he rejoiced. What's that day? That day is that economy. Because when trumpet sound is to reveal the day of God, preaching is to what? Reveal to you that day. That experiment. That's why a preacher is the one who can slay the lamb. How? He will look into that experiment. And fresh wisdom of how they can make the dead, then raise the dead, and quicken it. That's the gospel. Mission of Christ, mission of Father and God. That's the gospel. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Even though he could not see the promise, he could not enter the promise.
Le papa te papa tout tata tout taille que pelle tete tout 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 et te puta pata pata pour route que tete coco canta 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 que popo popo tia tia tata te ripe pupa kine ana sosisete me le popo antia kate puke ke kelete le pupa kuka papa kia kaka kia kanke kia ka le ki kaka kuka kaka kuke ken kelete kete 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 pero ka susete ente ripe pupa kia kats le tia tia.
Shafafa, shafafa, to know me, to know me, to know me, to know me is to see me naked. To know me is to see me vulnerable. Is to see me naked. To know me is to see me naked. To know me is to see me vulnerable and clothe me, cover my nakedness. Is to see me lamb slain. Is to see me lamb slain. Vulnerable. Armless. is to see me harmless. Is to see me harmless. And to keep me. Is to keep me. Is to tend me. Is to tend me. To know me. To know me is to see me vulnerable. Is to see me vulnerable and keep me. Is to tend me. Is to clothe me. Is to cover my nakedness. To know me. To know me. To know me. Oh, for such a one, I will be a God unto. Even for such a one, I will God over.
Yes.
Oh, for such a one, I am a God over this
yes.
one.
Yes.
Over this one, I am yours.
Yes.
I am your possession.
Yes.
You possess me.
Yes.
You possess me.
Yes.
I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. For such a one, I am yours. I am your possession. I am your possession. I am your possession. I am your possession. And you are mine. You are my people. Hey, for such a one. For such a one is my own. Is mine. Is my own. Is mine to own. Is mine. Is mine. For such a one is mine. For such a one. For such a one. Has authority both in heaven and in earth. Has authority both in heaven and in earth. He has keys to doors. He has keys to doors. He has keys to doors. Shut doors. He has keys to shut doors. He has keys. He has the antidote of death. 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 He has the great measure of life. Great fullness of life. Even great mercy. Even great mercy. Even great mercy.
May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The era in which men will see God's nakedness is upon us already. This journey, we are already seeing his nakedness to a degree, but see, when you are still within a region, our sins is still forgivable, right? There is a nakedness that you must not peep into. Is that one is blessed or is cursed? That's why I believe, in my opinion, in a way, I feel that God is the one arranging people to be in these waters. God can see solo. He can see soul nature ahead of time. He can see what you can become. Some people, out of mercy, out of love, they won't come close to this message. Because it is better for them not to have come to this light and turn later. If they see do their normal Jericho Christian and go to heaven, it's still good. That's still love. So it is love at times for God to keep you where you are and not bring you close to this light. This time, when you see that light, we have seen his nakedness. So that means you can harm God. That's the meaning. You can what? You can harm God by seeing his nakedness. They call them false prophets. They fought with John and the other apostles in those days. Because we have seen God's nakedness, we have seen the wisdom of how God is built. It's that building process you can see it. You are already an architect. So that means you can formulate another God. And men will not know.
Yeah.
They brought false doctrine. But doctrine of Balaam. All those things you see in Revelation. Those were the warfare of the churches there. Men who had tested of this good work and turned back. Yeah. So they have doctrine. That doctrine is this image. Doctrine is what you use to make image. Meaning you can describe and act God. And men will not discern that. It's not true God. He said, don't grieve any image. That doctrine. You can't just commit that. You can't commit that sin anyhow. You must have been wise in the spirit to be able to grave image. Is preaching. You need to draw another God. You give another house that God cannot inhabit, and you will raise men to that house by doctrine. So it's still mercy for God to not allow to see nakedness. You will have to wait for us to be tempered to a degree that, because if you see that nakedness based on the principle of that laboratory experiment, you can't sit and turn back. You can't sit and what? Turn back. You have dragged into a blood. Your only thing is to go further. That reaction there does not turn back. Because God does not repent. So if you partake of God to a degree and you turn back, you have repeated what God did alone, which must not be done again. You are smiting the Son of God the second time. thou shalt not make unto thee any grave image. It takes skill to make a grave image. You can preach false doctrine that is not really powerful. But when you are in this realm, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water, is doctrine. These are prophetic works. Prophets. False prophets. We call them cloud and water. Raging storms. Wandering stars. That's how they describe them. Give me that place again. Hebrews 11, verse 9. Let's go back there. That's just what the tongue is saying to us. So we are close to a border in the spirit, where we can't afford to turn back. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. So sojourning is not that maybe he's just looking at the lamp. No, no. The land is the spirit. That promised land is in the spirit. He has in a strange country, can you see? Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he looked for a city. So that's sojourning. Is a word of faith. He was sojourning. That sojourning is not just natural activities. There was something God was showing him. See this transaction. So when he was sojourning, sojourning is a spiritual activity that you go through to look for something that is beyond what you can see. So they saw that as a country, really. They call it a continuing city. That's also in Hebrews 11 there. A continuing one city, that everlasting city. That was what they saw. So they saw into what the God did from the foundation of the world. That's what made them add good reports. That was what Joseph saw. When he said, don't bury me in Egypt. Take my body, my bone, to the promised land. God has a continuous city. He ought to, in a figure, assess that promise, which he can't assess really. But they saw it. Well, what makes a prophet is that you must see this conversation. Though you won't enter it, but you must see that God has a building that he himself built. And how he built it, he revealed it in his son. So Abraham saw the day of the Lord. The day is the economy of that project. So when God finished the work, it was that was what he did in that laboratory. He broke himself down and built himself back. Wow. So when he saw that it was successful, experiments. Wow. So he already has the document of life. They call it the book of life. It's that book that he said, this book, anybody I read this book to, we will live. That's the book that carried the image. It was a book they documented the procedures of how to lay the stone upon stone to first of all make what we call Christ contract arts. Then how to also raise Christ to become living and true. So what that experiment was all about was what they wrote in the book called Book of Life. That's where they preached from to save us. I mean the fresh wisdom of how you can live after God's image. Hallelujah. Verse 19 of Hebrews 11. He said, verse 18 said, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall I see it be what? Because. So God broke himself to Christ and raised him back, right? Accounting that God was able to what? Raise him up. Can you see? So what Abraham saw was what? He saw the account. He saw it, so he could testify to it. That God was able to what? Raise him up. So he saw Christ. That's Isaac that God promised him. So he's not the physical Isaac now. He saw under seed that God promised him. That's Abraham's seed is Christ. So he was able to lay down Isaac physically because he saw a conversation in the spirit that this God, he was able to raise him up even from the dead. God, the work of the Father that he showed to the Son is how he raised the dead and quickened it. From whence he also received him what? In a figure, in a similitude. So that's why he could. That was the understanding that Abraham had that made him do what he did. He saw a city, he saw a conversation that there is a program in God that can raise the dead and quicken it. So he saw a city that where God is the what? Maker and builder. He had this how God built himself. Wow. Though God cannot give him that building. God, you don't have that foundation that can carry it. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is the content of what happened from the foundation of the world. And any prophet that will see do the same thing must be made to see this allocation of mercy. So your love, I mean, God's offering for our redemption was formulated in that laboratory. What you call love that God will give to you and I to save you, that love was a formula. It's a wisdom of raising himself in man. He will first of all raise Christ in you, right? Then raise you as living son, then true son. That's the offering that they offer for our sin. So they will teach you the law or that wisdom, that procedure, and raise the same thing in us. That's how they raise us. And that's how we are saved. May God help us listen to not just see this procedure or understand what happened, but to come to the very experience of the same thing. Amen. Such that we can become God's habitation upon the earth. Say, return, sons of men. That means we have to become sons of men first to return. That one can call. Because in Isaac or in the son of man, he will call out his seed. Meaning that's it, that is called incorruptible seed. We be from a contrite heart. Our journey is for us to come to charity, right? To come to a state of contriteness. Because that's the offering that God can take. Then when that one is done, then we can build us up to the Father. Let's pray this morning that the Lord will give us grace.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.